Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Creative Collaboration Show. Chuck Anderson here, and this is the show where we help business owners, entrepreneurs of all types, different phases of business, you know, to really navigate, you know, the growth of their business. And, you know, so many of us start our businesses to create financial freedom for ourselves, create financial freedom for our families. And one of the measuring sticks that we have for that is the size of our business or our annual sales, and it's commonly referred to as a seven-figure business that we're prepared to, you know, that we're pursuing building here. And today's guest not only has developed her own seven-figure businesses, but helps others navigate the growth of their business to seven figures and beyond as well. So today I have Amanda Bedell with me here today. So Amanda, welcome.
And thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Chuck.
Oh, I am so thrilled that you're here. And this is a topic that we get asked about a lot. What does it really take to get to seven figures and beyond? And of course, everyone is in awe of people who've actually done it. And so we want to unpack your story and kind of like learn from you and see what you recommend in terms of that pursuit. So I think a best place to start, because I am not going to butcher your introduction at all. I'm just going to have you do it. So tell everyone a little bit more about yourself, your background, and how it led you to do the work that you're doing now.
Sure. I like to share a story. A lot of times I start with a story about really the end of my business. I wrote on my Facebook page in August of 2018 this quote, if you will, and it said on there, it said, "In the rearview mirror of life, I will be able to look back on this time and see that these experiences helped me receive my heart's desire in grace and in perfect ways." That was code for shit's hitting the fan. Oh, am I allowed to say that?
Oh,
here?
Yeah, go for it. This is not for children.
That was Amanda's code for nothing is going right. I had, through the series of almost 7 years, I had made a series of decisions that had ultimately led me to very little profit, but a business that was generating 2.2 million in annual sales, but little profit. So I wasn't paying myself. I was in 4 credit cards of debt. I had emptied my 401k. I was literally out of personal capital. So the story there is I have many stories within that, but you know, kind of going back to where you started in the introduction, that we all have this idea when we start entrepreneurship or starting our business that we're going to make it to the $1 million revenue mark. If we make it to the $1 million revenue mark, we're going to have a business that can give us what we want, which is financial freedom. And then with financial freedom, we have options. And one of those options might be more time with our family, with our friends, with whatever we feel is important. So those are really the two reasons why we start businesses. One is financial freedom, but the other, and the hopes that we can make more money than we ever could working for someone else. But the other reason is that we might have that sellable asset at the end that, okay, if we work really hard, maybe we can build something that we can sell. Well, I have that same, my bakery story then is that I had all of this revenue lines out the door. It was a very popular place, but it relied on me 24/7. It didn't have any net profit. So at the end of the day, when I sold my bakery, which it was a successful sale on paper, it was far less than I could have lived on for any, like even a year after paying off all my debts. So what I'm saying there is that why we go into business is literally flawed from the beginning because we don't know how to accomplish the two reasons why we go into business. So that's what I'm here to do, is to share from the ashes of my failure that there are ways to go about it in a much smarter way and to hit those two things that we want.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can relate to so much to your story. It reminds me of some of my stories, of which I also have multiple. And I remember the first time hitting seven figures, adding it all up at the end and realizing I paid $50,000 for the privilege of doing over $1 million in sales. And it's like, wait a minute. Isn't the point of this to make money? Isn't this the point? You know, like you said, we want to take care of our families and we want to, you know, never mind leave a legacy. Like we hear of that a lot as well, but even just being profitable, but to actually pay for the privilege, I would have been further ahead to just have a job. And you know, it reminds me of that a lot. So what was the kind of the transition out of that? So what did you do? Like, so you have this business, you're working 24/7, by my gosh, I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And so you're realizing it's not profitable. What do you do?
Well, I panicked for about 2 years straight, and put even more of myself into it, to the point where, you know, I was stressed. I maybe slept 3 hours, 4 hours a night. I had three shifts running at the bakery. I had 15 employees. I was running 24/7. But what I found, so I found the 10,000 Small Businesses program through Goldman Sachs. And there is where I found colleagues that were like me. I had been on the search in my panic for information for business, what I called business 2.0. I've already started my business. It's successful. I've got lines out the door. I don't need customers. I need systems and I need a way to get to profitability. And I couldn't find that information anywhere. I did get into the 10,000 Small Businesses program, and that helped me in some sense, but really it was the peers that really made that whole journey worth it in the end for me, because I got to get to know someone specifically named Tim, who I talk about a lot in my stuff. Tim was there in my corner, and he's the only person I told the truth to. So I didn't believe in business coaches at the time. I didn't really know what they were. To be honest, I thought maybe that would be like therapy, and I didn't want therapy. I wanted results. I wanted someone to help me like get more profit in my business. And anybody that I talked to that seemed to be in the coaching realm, it was more questions and getting the information outside of me. And I was just like really frustrated with that idea. And then business consultant, that kind of role, seemed to have a stigma around it costing too much and that I wouldn't be able to afford it. So, I guess through that whole experience, what I ended up doing was leaning on a personal friend who helped me kind of get out of my spinning. So I would talk to him. He was the only person that knew everything that was going on. What he did on that August day that I alluded to at the beginning of this conversation was he said something to me that stopped me in my tracks and made me stop spinning. He said, "Why are you fighting so hard for this when you have so much more to do?" Until then, I had no idea I had more to do. I thought that my whole world, everything was wrapped up in my ego, you know, my friends and family's money, everything was wrapped up into this company. And I was fighting for something that wasn't serving me. It's almost like I got everything that I needed from it and I needed to step away. So he is the one that really woke me up. And that's when I started to realize the power of having somebody who knew the truth behind everything, in order to wake you up, because you can't read your own message when you're inside your own bottle. I've heard that from somewhere. I don't remember where. But yeah, you can't read the message when you're inside the bottle. So having that outside person helping me see that really what I was doing was just running myself ragged in and into the ground with this company. And it didn't mean that the company wasn't awesome and successful. It just meant that it needed to live beyond Amanda at this point.
I love what you just said, like having that business that, you know, beyond Amanda, right? And that I feel so, you know, so similarly about, you know, some of my businesses. And it's so easy to create that full-time job, that 24/7. Like you said, your ego gets so attached to it. I mean, it's this thing that you created and you pour so much into. And I do not quit easily. Right?
It, no. Like,
my mantra is always the, you know, you only fail if you quit. And mm-hmm. and so I just cannot allow myself to quit. And, you know, there's pivots there. You know, we do evolve, but I don't quit very easily. And, you know, the business that I was in, I definitely should have quit and eventually did once I found something better. But you know, that's it. I mean, as entrepreneurs, we care so deeply for our business. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you had this confidant, this friend that you could really be honest with, because mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, when we get together, you know, and we talk about how well it's going and mm-hmm. the new offer that we just created and, you know, this new promotion that we're so excited about and, you know, the future, that horizon that we're trying to get to. We're always self-promoting, but then mm-hmm. to have an honest and real conversation with a fellow entrepreneur that gets it, mm-hmm. that's rare.
Yeah, it is. It's super rare and it's super hard to let someone in like that. And I gotta say, it's something that I still work on. I have 4 coaches now, and they know that when I get quiet, that's when something's going on. Because I just shut up and I just like work. I'm like, just go, 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 go. Just don't stop. And what I'm learning is that when I breathe, like actually take a full breath, which a lot of us when we're in scarcity mode can't do. But a lot of things kind of start to shake out.
Yeah, you know, we're very similar in that regards, because that's what happens to me too. I just put the blinders on, I focus, mm-hmm. I stop mm-hmm. talking. It's mm-hmm. And which is weird because I talk for a living.
Yeah,
and me so too. It is a little bit tough that way, but I totally get it. So going through this experience, you know, and now this turning point into the work that you do now, and that's helping other people navigate their journey through building and operating a 7-figure business. Mm-hmm. You know, who are you working with? Who's coming into your world, looking for your help in navigating this? Because now with this wisdom and the what to do and what not to do, and some of the things you learned about in your business, you're now helping people with. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing? Who's showing up, and who are you working with?
Yeah. And, you know, it did take a while. It took, because right in the middle, it was the pandemic too. So it took me 3 years to really transition. And I'm going to, that the word failure was a word that I couldn't even say or think about without like bursting into tears. So I did really take that bakery business, even though it was successful, fail on paper. All of my debts were paid. I had a little bit left over to live for a minute. I still let go of what was something that I really loved, and I build from nothing. So I didn't jump right into where I am today. Just to clarify that, it's been more than 3 years now. So several years during the pandemic. I also, had a life, shaking moment, where all of that stress from the bakery, all of the things that I was doing to myself and my body, had resulted in me having cancer. So I did cancer treatment during the pandemic. It was 2 full years, and ended up living with my parents, and I spent a lot of time alone. Because during the pandemic, no one could come with me during my treatments or any of the surgeries I had. So I spent a lot of time alone, and I guess I just want to highlight that piece of, there's time in between that. It's not like you shift and you're just like, okay, let me, sell myself as some kind of business consultant or coach or whatever you want to call me. I've been earned the title of business chaos sorter. That's how my clients like to call me, because no matter what, when they talk to me, they know what they need to do. And I kind of am, help them remove all of the distractions and the chaos of what they deal with every day. And each week they know exactly like the one thing they have to do that week to move their business forward, even though they're working in multiple different areas of their business and being pulled in many different directions. They know that they can feel that sense of growth and moving on to the next step, whether that be profitability or financial freedom or whatever we're trying to get to. Right. So, sorry, I bypassed that just slightly.
No, it's good that we talked about that, because that's a critical part of the turning point. I think we started touching on it, but didn't finish that, because you're right. There is, it's not like flipping a light switch. It's not like, oh, well, this business didn't work, that switch is off, and I'm going to go start this other business now. Switches on. And when you really become attached and you really work a business for a long time and you pour everything you have into it, there is that difficulty letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And the next phase, the next idea doesn't necessarily come right away.
Right away.
It's like there is this transition period. And so the pandemic was an interesting time for a lot of reinvention, a lot of pivots. Not only did you experience that in your business, but with your health as well.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the message that you really got? And, you know, and I've never had in a health situation like that. What was the sort of the turning point or the wake up call and say, you know what, like, I'm really going to do things differently from this point forward?
For me, it to be honest, it had a lot to do with abusing my body with alcohol. Mm-hmm. So I would overdrink, which I know a lot of entrepreneurs do that. They hide their fears in potentially in alcohol or other recreational drugs, or maybe not even recreational drugs. So the entrepreneurship population can use crutches, if you will, at more of a higher rate than those that do other things. Also, entrepreneurs have a higher suicide rate than other people in different, work life situations. So it's really important, I guess, for me to call that out. That's my wake up call, was that my life is really important and I have a lot more to say and I'm not done yet. So as I was working through my cancer treatment, even though in the moment I was just worrying about the next step. So I was very intentional about steps. Like, I'm not thinking ahead. I'm just going to work on the next step, the next step. What am I doing next? You know, and not forecasting the future. But I was also healing from the experience that I had put myself through those 7 years and kind of the hole that I dug myself into when it came to reliance of alcohol. So that was the biggest shift that I made post pandemic and post cancer, is that I no longer do that with my body. I believe that that's poison, and that my brain and everything works so much better, and I can fulfill my purpose at a better capacity when I'm at 100% or more.
You know, I've had so many experiences with that, especially with fellow entrepreneurs who did take things too far. And, It's so easy when you go to events and you get around other entrepreneurs and you're socializing, and it's so easy, you know, for things to get out of control. I mean, there's the annual summits that we go to in the affiliate marketing industry that are considered to be like the big party every year. Mm-hmm. And so when the parties start, I go back to my hotel room. So that is something I also learned, because I like being able to think clearly. I like to be able to, you know, to be able to have all my faculties and to be able to process ideas. And yeah, right. It really diminishes our ability to do that when alcohol and other substances are involved.
And it may seem like you get all these wild and crazy ideas when you're under the influence, but the day afterwards and how much time I lost recovering from that night out. I just say that I had my life quota. I met my life quota early. Really. That was the biggest shift for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge turning point. And, you know, having, again, you know, giving up alcohol as well, it made a huge difference in terms of the productivity, the focus, being able to actually, you know, follow through on some of the plans and not have them sort of derailed or just, you know, doing this over here and then doing that over there. I mean, the focus is just so, so huge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can really relate to that as well. Well, so let's talk a little bit about who you're helping now. And I know you have a program, the 5-day focus, that really helps as well. Let's make sure we have that in there and then unpack a little bit about what people learn from that. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, who you're serving, and then we'll get into talk about the event a little bit. So.
Sure. Yeah. So I, as I shake out through, you know, when you first start a business like this, you're kind of just going with anybody that comes to you. So I've worked with over 300 businesses now in almost every single industry. And I found a passion more for those in trades, those that, like they build stuff, they make, you know, floors, or the plumbers, the electricians. I absolutely adore working with women who are in those sectors, because a lot of times women in the trades are the people who are they're single mothers, or they migrated to this country for a better life. Those types of businesses as well. They're the easiest ones to get started. They're low barrier entry. You can start a landscaping business with very little money, a cleaning business with very little money. So that's who I love to work with. I love to see them flourish. A lot of what I do is I simplify the complexities of business through a lens called the 5-part framework. And that 5-part framework kind of strips away this idea that we have to have all of these different things. I know one of the things that you talk about, you know, is collaborations versus, and I see it like from a lead generation strategy, collaborations being something that's much more fruitful versus something like a social media strategy. Especially for trades folks, those people who are serving people in a specific demographic geographic location. We don't need to shout out to the whole world what we're doing or how different the floor looks. We need to make sure that the people in our communities know that we have that we're available and that we have access or on our calendar. So those are the people that I tend to work with now. They're in construction. They serve their service-based businesses. They're women mostly, though I do have men in my group. I also do one-on-ones with manufacturing facilities too, because my bakery was a manufacturing company.
Not just manufacturing, but manufacturing things that are very tasty and things that I want to eat all the time.
Yeah. Well, not with my companies now. Those are more like CNC shop. And then yeah. I've got like, wind vane maker. And then a digital board. What are those called? A circuit board manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's a sector that you don't always hear a lot about, especially in the networking circles, a lot of the entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. especially in digital marketing, where, there's a lot of coaches and consultants mm-hmm. and speakers and authors. And I find it refreshing that you are working with also business owners and entrepreneurs in their own right, but, completely different in the way that their business operates, in the way that they provide their services, in the way that they do their lead gen and the systems mm-hmm. that they need. And then all of that. And, it reminds me of I was at a conference about a year ago and I met a company who specialized in lead gen for those types of service businesses.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was like out of all of the booths, about 25% of them were serving that audience. And it was interesting because you don't see that at digital marketing events all that mm-hmm. often. So it is a huge sector, and a lot of the support resources and a lot of the training and a lot of the programs are just not designed for them. And so mm-hmm. the fact that you do this, I think, does give you some uniqueness in the marketplace, and you are serving business owners in a sector that really need that support and, mm-hmm. don't have it, because so many of them are owner operators
mm-hmm.
that, like you said, they started the business they're in because of a low barrier entry. They're providing a great service, but they weren't necessarily business people to begin with. Right.
Right.
And it's like, mm-hmm. you kind of learn out of necessity. It's like, oh, I have this problem. How do I fix this? Now I have this problem. How do I fix it?
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about how you help them to in that journey. Like, what is what is it that you're helping them to navigate through their business? And then let's tell them a little bit about the 5-day focus as well, because sure. I think that's a great place for someone to start mm-hmm. if they're on this journey.
Yeah, so I work with them, again, through that lens of a 5-part framework. So we make sure that each piece of that 5-part framework is being utilized, and we're focusing on one or two, and that's it, strategies in each of the areas. So the 5-part framework it's your foundation. So it's your what I call market dominating position. How are you different than everybody else that sells what you sell? Under foundations, you've got your education, any certifications you need, your business strategy or business model, your financial models. That's all in foundations. And then we have leads. So how are you getting your leads? And the leads, there's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of tools and tactics and thousands of opinions on what you should do from a lead generation standpoint. But I really mostly force my clients to pick one or two at the most lead generation strategies. And then we want to be able to draw a straight line from their lead strategies to conversions. So there's a lot of different strategies around conversions and how do you convert people. From conversions, it's number of sales. So a business is really a hobby if it only has one sale and then they're gone. What we need is consistent sales. So how do we have our customers buy from us more than once and multiple times every year? And then from that, then we work on profits. So that's the 5-part framework. It's foundations, leads, conversions, transactions, and profits. Working on 1 to 2 strategies of what's already working. So most of the people that I work with have already had their business for several years, and they likely already have employees. So there are multiple things that I can look at inside their business to see what's already working and where can I quickly tighten up just areas. to make financial gains quickly. And financial gains, I mean, either in cash flow, so the bank balance, or our net profit at the end of the year. So we need to see that up, because remember that our goal is to either have, or our goal is to make more money than we could in a career, and then also have a sellable asset at the end. So both of those goals are what we're working towards for them. So we want to first hit that million in revenue, and that, but I also don't want them working in it all the time. So we need to build in the systems and look for the people that we need in the different seats in that company in order for them to grow to that size and then more. So do you want me to go into the 5-day focus?
Yeah, tell them about the 5-day focus. And we're going to put a link beneath the video and in the podcast show notes so people can register for it. And yeah, tell them what it is and why they should attend.
Yeah, so the 5-day focus is kind of my entry point where people can get used to me or maybe dip their toe into what it's like to have a business chaos order or coach or consultant, if you want to call me that, whatever you want to call me. I prefer business chaos order. But just so you have an idea of what that feels like to have someone on your side. So this is really for somebody that's been in business for at least 3 years and you've maybe hit a wall, or if you've been like me where it was about 2 million annually, but you were working all the time. Or it could also be for a business that's stuck in kind of that 250, 500K range annually with dreams of what that million-dollar business could look like on you. All they have to do when they come into the program is follow the proven steps, and I show them it all for free. This is actually only available on like your platform for free, or if you come in through another, my strategic plan, which actually hasn't come up yet, but it's very exclusive for you to get the free access. So I'm really excited that you have that there. But what the 5-day focus is it's 60 minutes for 5 days in a row. And then you walk away with the 7-figure framework that you can use now and well into the future. What we have is an immersive educational experience on Zoom, and we interact in real time. And then you get to experience connection of a room filled with people that are just like you, that are excited to collaborate and grow. And the only way that all of the work gets done and that you get to that 7-figure business is through accountability. So every day I have actionable steps that happen, and then you do that over the 24-hour period. You come back, we dig into it, we do more. That will keep you going towards that goal to the end of at the end of the 5 days, where you're not only inspired and supported, because that's how you can feel after a big learning event. You can feel so inspired and yay, I'm going to do this. But then you forget about it and you haven't taken massive action. So what we do in our five-day focus is create massive action each and every day. So that not that event and that investment in time is not just felt right then and there, but that you feel the impacts for months, if not years to come. So that's the 5-day focus, and you'll have access to that free link in the description below.
Yeah. So that sounds amazing. And it's definitely a resource I wish I had when I was in the telecom business. And, you know, we were spending so much money on this business. Like I said, reaching 7 figures, but paying for the privilege of doing it. You want to actually be able to keep some of the money that you're earning. You really need that framework. So check out the description just beneath this video. There is a link there. If you're listening to this on a podcast, just click into the player. There's the show notes there. The links are all there as well. And we will connect you directly to Amanda. So Amanda, this has been awesome. I can tell already that you and I could, like, we could do a deep dive into any one of these topics. Like, we could probably spend like 4 more hours doing this.
Yeah.
But I think the next best thing is go register for the 5-day focus and spend that hour a day with Amanda. It will be definitely time well spent. Mm-hmm. And it's only an hour a day, so you can still do your business, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take a week off or anything.
Yeah.
And so this has been, I mean, I love your stories. I can relate to so many of them. I love the work that you're doing. This whole journey of being an entrepreneur has been one of tremendous personal growth for me. I mean, I always tell people that your business only grows to the extent that you do. And a big part of that has been books. So while I have you here and before we sign off, I just wanted to find out, like, what book, if you were to recommend a book as a must read that's been the most inspirational book to you or the one that really helped you the most in this journey, which book would you recommend?
Well, based off of everything that we talked about, I'm going to go with E Myth. So the E Myth, what, Michael Gerber?
Michael Gerber, yeah.
Yeah, that was the author, the E Myth. I think I wish I would have read that when I was at my bakery. But for action, I would say The One Thing. So I'm actually going to cheat and do two.
Oh, there you
So The
go.
One Thing is
Way
the
to get
other
that
one
in there. Tell us about the
that
one thing because I
I would do.
don't know that I know that one.
Okay, that is J. Papasan and Gary Keller.
Okay.
And the one thing I use that for my clients now, in that I ask them to every single day ask themselves, what is the one thing that if it got done, everything else would either be easier or completely fall away? So when I looked at my list, I'm a list person. I have lists that create lists of lists, like literally all the lists. And what I do is look at that every single day and I'm like, okay, what's the first domino? What's the one thing that's going to really make a difference? And that really helps melt away any of the feelings of like I have to go in any other direction, in this direction or that direction. And it's like, what's the one thing that, okay, if I need cash flow, what's the one thing I can do today to get cash flow? What's the one thing that I can do today if I need more profit? You know, so like kind of thinking of, in terms of that.
I love that. I'm going to have to go and read that book next, because that I love the idea because I can relate to the lists, and those lists never, they're never zero and they never go away. But there are things that you can prioritize that if you did that thing first, it takes care of so many of the other things that are on the list. And I think that's brilliant. I love that idea. And so that's going to change my journaling tomorrow morning. It's going to and I'm going to go check out that book for sure. So we'll make sure that the links to that book recommendation are in the show notes as well. So Amanda, thank you. This has been so amazing. And I just wanted to, as we kind of bring this episode in for a landing here, ask you if you had any final piece of advice or words of wisdom to end this episode by.
Sure. I guess what I would say is if you're struggling right now, or maybe if you've made decisions that have turned out to be failures, please remember that you will be able to make connections to why this all happened to you later. Because I think this is a Steve Jobs quote. We can't connect the dots moving, looking forward. We can only looking back. So I would take a deep breath and make note of what comes to mind and what do you need to take away from this whole time that you've listened to us, and maybe write that down so that you can say it back to yourself when you have your future reflection.
Yeah, that is brilliant because, one of the things that we always I end this episode by is, pick one thing that you heard here today and go and do it.
There you
And it
go.
really ties in nicely with your book recommendation, The One Thing, and all of that. So what is that thing that really helped you today? Go and do it today. And then while you're at it, go click on the link and register for the 5-day focus there as well. So, Amanda, thank you so much. This has been amazing. To our audience, thank you. This has been the Creative Collaboration Show with Chuck Anderson, and we'll see you on the next one, everybody. Thank you.